Here we are. This is my last day getting to greet you as a staff member of Bellingham Covenant Church, and I'm going to do my best to make some sense out of everything that's been going on over the last, I don't know, year or so here, to preach a sermon that isn't too terrible, and then to tie it all up with a nice bow, and then after that we can go have some Costco sheet cake. So, for those of you who are new here, it's nice to meet you. I'm Stephen Shetterly. I am the Director of Local and Global Outreach here at BCC for about the next 35 minutes or so. I understand that it's not officially the end of the month. There is, you know, Monday is still the last day of the month, but I'm pretty sure I have a personal day or a sick day or something in there I'm going to cash in on. So, no, even though today is a day that is tinged with some sadness for me, I have truly loved and appreciated my time on staff here. Believe it or not, I am thrilled that this is my last day. And it's not that I'm, you know, glad to be off of staff or anything like that. I really appreciate our staff here and, like I said, my time here. But I'm thrilled because I feel like this is the next big step on a journey that my family and I have been on, and a journey that this church has been on, and in a larger sense, even a journey that our entire community of Whatcom County has been on for some time now. And to be clear, I'm not really even going anywhere. This is sort of a non-goodbye. I am not making any sort of a geographical move for the time being. I'm still going to be located down the hall in my children's classroom turned office, having to put up with Jeff G's 80s and 90s rock anthologies throughout the week that he listens to. So the shift for me is going to be one in terms of focus and mission. As many of you know, for the past year, I've been connected with an organization called World Relief. It's an international Christian relief and development organization in the United States. Their main focus is on refugee resettlement, on working with asylees and other immigrants in vulnerable situations. So I'm shifting from what has technically been part-time work with them to full-time work managing this fledgling little refugee resettlement office that has opened here in the past couple of months. So today I want to tell some of that story, sort of how it is that God brought us here, where things seem to be headed. It's going to be a mix of personal story, organizational story, and scripture. And you'll get to hear not just from me, but from others in our church and in our community. I think it also fits in perfectly with our current sermon series, just as if someone had planned it that way. We are exploring the covenant affirmations. And so these are six affirmations that our denomination has sort of settled on so that when someone asks, you know, what is it that you guys are all about there at the covenant? We don't have to hand them a doctrinal statement written four centuries ago and say, read that. But instead, we can say, here are really six core things that we as covenanters care about and hold dear. It's what's shaped our movement throughout our history. It's what we hope will continue to shape this denomination moving forward. And so we started a couple of weeks ago with the centrality of the Word of God. Pastor Phil preached on that, and then Pastor Janet last week talked about the church as a fellowship of believers. And so this week I get to talk about our affirmation of a commitment to the whole mission of the church. So as you probably know, the early Swedes who started the covenant so long ago, they started this group in order to be more effective at serving together in mission. So they called themselves mission friends at the outset. It's at the very core of our DNA as a denomination to be about mission. And this mission is broad, and this mission is deep. That's the whole mission part of things. Mission isn't just about making our church membership bigger. It's not just about souls saved or baptisms or recommitments of faith. But neither is it about, you know, the church just becoming another social service agency in the community. It's more than that. Mission, I'm convinced, means joining God in his remaking, his recreation, his redemption of this broken world through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus, by his life and death and resurrection, is making all things new. Today, right now, that work is going on in big ways and small ways, in hidden ways and obvious ways. That work spans all of creation. It's vast. It's all around us. And shockingly, God invites us as individuals and as his body, the church, to be co-laborers with him in that work. He gives us stuff to do, like a dad handing a hammer to his daughter and saying, "Help me pound in this nail, would you, honey?" We are invited into this miracle. We get the great honor and joy of working alongside our dad in the things that he is about. As Ephesians 2:10 says, God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, this miracle that we are invited to participate in a church, in as a church and as individuals. And I'm going to use this journey that we've been on with World Relief and refugee resettlement as kind of one big extended illustration of that. So at the most foundational level, we can say that this mission of God that we have been invited into springs directly out of the character of God. If we want to know what on earth it is that we are, you know, called to do for God, we need to first understand who God is. So I want to center my message today around a couple of God is statements and that capture this sense of mission as an outworking of the very character and nature of God. These aren't comprehensive statements. Obviously, God is much bigger than anything I can describe in 20-ish minutes, but they are truths that I think are sometimes overlooked, and they are truths that impact our sense of mission, the mission that we are called to as the people of God. So let's start with statement number one that speaks to both God's character and to his mission. Our God is a welcoming and hospitable God. And to introduce this idea, I want to bring in my longtime friend and a supported missionary of our church, Jonathan Lytle. He's worked for many years up at Western with international students. Despite the fact that he and his wife Liz are super busy and have three young kids, when they heard about World Relief opening up, they jumped at the opportunity to serve. They saw this refugee stuff as a part of the mission that they were called to. And Jonathan does a great job of explaining why that is. So I'm just going to let him share for a bit up on the screen here.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Lytle. I'm part of Hillcrest Church in Bellingham, and I work on staff with Campus Christian Fellowship, CCF, up at Western. And I got involved with World Relief right at the beginning because a few different reasons. One, I had friends from college that now work for World Relief in Seattle, and I'd heard about the great things that they do. And so when we heard that there was going to be an office starting in Bellingham, we were really excited. We're really busy. We work in full-time ministry, and we already work with international students. And so we wondered, you know, do we actually have time to do something like this? But really felt like the Lord said, this is such an important thing that's happening in the world right now, and one of the biggest crises of our time, and it was important for us to be involved. So we're involved because we love refugees. We've loved refugees for years. We've had friends that work with refugees, and we have been blessed by many refugees ourselves in our own life. And so when the chance came for us to do something to bless refugees in our own county, we just couldn't say no. I think one of the big motivations for me to be involved in this work is just having received the hospitality of God. Every one of us has been welcomed by God into his family. And so when the chance comes to welcome somebody into our life and into our community, it's just something that the Lord asks of us to do because of what we've received from him. And it's easy in many ways to offer that because of what we've received from the Lord. And I think that, knowing a hospitable God makes us hospitable people when somebody's new to our community. And I found that our own faith is enriched by all the ways that they help me see my life through a different lens. And I think that that's something, that's one of the ways that refugees are a blessing to us, is that they help us see that the world is bigger than just my own way of seeing things. It's a way that I've actually, like, I would say my view of God has become bigger over the years as I've interacted with people from various cultures around the world. And I anticipate that happening with refugees coming to our city, that we'll all be able to see God bigger as he actually is, as we interact with people who are maybe very different from the way we grew up or see the world in a different way. When I think about what it would be like to have to leave your home and go to a place that's completely unfamiliar, when I think about how Jesus would act towards someone like that, that's the kind of people that I hope that we'll be. That someone who feels completely overwhelmed and in a new place and doesn't know what life is going to look like, if God's people can show them that God welcomes them, then I think we're doing what he's called us to do. That's the kind of people he's called us to be.
All right, so Jonathan basically preached my sermon for me there, so we can close in prayer and head out. No. Seriously, though, this is someone who has spent a lot of his adult life and career thinking and praying and reading scripture and figuring out how these issues relate to our lives as Christians. And I think we need to listen carefully. Every one of us has been welcomed by God into his family, Jonathan says. So when the chance comes to welcome someone into our life and community, it's something that the Lord asks of us. And it's easy to offer that because of what we've received from him. He's not making this stuff up out of thin air, by the way. This is not the gospel of Jonathan. Ephesians 2, for example, says, "Remember that at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." We see this truth declared and enacted in the life and the ministry of Jesus, too, particularly in the meals that he eats with others and the feasts that he talks about in his parables. So eating with others in Jesus' day and age was an act of kinship and hospitality. Welcoming someone to your table was essentially identifying with them, declaring your kinship with them, which is why the religious types got so bent out of shape about the sorts of people that Jesus ate meals with. God welcomes us, even us, into his family. He's the gracious host. He sets a table before us. He invites us to eat with him. One final point that Jonathan made that I'd like to highlight. He said, "Knowing a hospitable God makes us hospitable people." Or at least it should make us hospitable people, Stephen added under his breath. Again, I think the imagery of a meal is helpful here. Serving a meal is a hospitable act. Just this past week, I was visiting one of our Afghan families that we'd resettled. I was meaning to stay just for a few minutes before rushing off to do other work that I had, but somehow I ended up sitting down to a full-on delicious meal of rice and lamb with them. What amazing hospitality from these people who had lost everything. We literally had just gotten them signed up for food stamps a couple of weeks before, and here they were providing food to me. It made me so, so happy to see them being able to cook food that they wanted to eat, being able to offer and extend hospitality to others. As people made in the image of God, I think that being hospitable is part of what it means to be human. And when you sit down to a table for a meal, it's a bit of a dance, isn't it? There's give and take involved on both sides. Hospitality is not demanding that your guests just eat whatever you put before them and shut up if he doesn't like your food. If you're violently lactose intolerant, I don't sit you at my table and force feed you ice cream cake, right? Yet this is sometimes how we treat those who end up in our community as outsiders, isn't it? You're in my home now, buddy. You better get with the program. If you want to participate in society, you better start fitting in here right quick. Is that hospitality? I don't think so. I love the imagery of mutual transformation. In a true act of hospitality, both the host and the guest are changed. Both of them give a little. Both of them end up better for the experience. And all of this, again, is rooted in the character of God, who made himself nothing and took on the very nature of a servant, as Philippians 2 says, in order to be with and to rescue his people. So our God is a welcoming God, a hospitable God, and thanks to Jonathan for getting that across so clearly. My next point I would say is that our God is a migrant God. Let me say that again. Our God is a migrant God. From the beginning, humans have been migrants. There's actually an argument to be made that it's when people settle down and get too comfortable that that's when God has an issue with things. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. God has commanded humanity to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to migrate, in other words. But instead, they plunk down in the middle of this plain and they start building themselves a city and a tower that's going to reach up to heaven. God's solution is to confuse their languages so that they have to scatter across the earth. Then in the very next chapter, Genesis 12, it's about Abraham, a migrant who leaves his father's house and heads to the land of promise. And on through the rest of the Bible, we see people on the move. The story of Israel in the Old Testament is held up by two great pillars of migration, the Exodus and the exile. And then there's the story of Jesus, the Son of Man who has nowhere to lay his head, who's a person constantly on the move in the Gospels, traveling from one spot to another. And then the story of the first Christians facing persecution, fleeing from Jerusalem throughout Judea and Samaria and eventually to the ends of the earth. And the great miracle in all of this, one of the things that I think makes Christianity distinct from any of the other great world religions, is that the Lord of the universe not only reveals himself to these migrants, but he joins them on the road. God is a migrant God. You see this in the wilderness wanderings of God's people. At a time when all of Israel was living in tents, stuck between Egypt and the land of promise, where does God choose to make his dwelling? In a tent, right there with his people. In the ancient world, people conceived of gods who were geographically located. The god of that holy mountain over there, the god of that sacred city over there, the god of that particular tree or shrine or lake. But this Yahweh God, he lived in a tabernacle, in a tent, just like his wandering children. God camped with his kids. But God does more than that. He doesn't just camp with his kids, he carries them along the road. The first chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses says this: "The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way that you went until you reached this place." I love that imagery. As we think of this in the context of modern human migration, I picture the fathers and the mothers forced to flee with their kids, leaving everything behind except that which is most precious to them. Running for the border in the dead of night, struggling through checkpoints, packing on to evacuation flights, enduring the daily humiliation and suffering of life in a refugee camp or a military base or a slum in a foreign country in order to give your family a chance at life. There in the desert, you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way that you went until you reached this place. Jesus, too, is described by the Apostle John as the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This phrase, made his dwelling, is a rich one. It actually means to set up his tent. The Word who has from the beginning walked into the pain and the dirt and the shame of our refugee camp, and he set up his tent, his tabernacle, right alongside ours. And so I am convinced that we in the West have a lot to learn from people whose existence has mirrored that of Israel in the wilderness. I would go so far as to say that people on the move, that migrants, experience a God in a way that settled people don't. Those of us with houses and credit scores and 9-to-5 jobs and retirement accounts, we need the help of others to understand certain things about God. Praying to God for where your next meal is going to come from. Praying to God for the safety of your children on the overloaded raft the smugglers have put you all on. Praying to God that he would blind the eyes of the men with guns who are hunting door to door for your family. Those are qualitatively different prayers than we pray on a daily basis. So rubbing shoulders with people who have come straight out of Egypt, so to speak, who still have the sand of the wilderness stuck in their hair, being close to them, listening to their stories, getting to know their families, learning from them with humble hearts. That's one way to be reminded of our own rescue from Egypt. Our God is a migrant God. He is near to those who wander in the wilderness. So a little over a year ago, I tried to instigate my own exodus, and it backfired. I've told this story to some of you, so I apologize if this is repetitive for you, but it hasn't been widely broadcast. To be honest, basically none of this stuff that has happened with World Relief has been due to my careful planning and foresight. I was actually trying to get out of Whatcom County when this thing sort of fell out of the sky and hit me on the head, metaphorically speaking. My family was at a point where we were willing to consider moving, and I felt a hard-to-describe sense that Spokane, of all places, would be an interesting city to investigate. And in retrospect, I think it was due to the very spiritual reason that purchasing a home in Spokane is like 40% cheaper than trying to buy one around here. So whatever my motivation was, I quickly settled on World Relief Spokane as a place that I wanted to explore working for. So I wrote a brief email to them out of the blue. I sent it off. I had been interested in and adjacent to refugee resettlement work for quite a while at that point, and I'd heard great things about World Relief. So a few weeks later, somewhat surprisingly, I got a phone call back from their executive director, Mark, who happened to be a pastor who was ordained in the Covenant Church. Small world there. But we talked for an hour or so, and by the time we'd gotten 10 minutes into the conversation, I was convinced that Mark must think I was a deeply unstable person, because I was just falling over myself, sort of spilling forth these half-finished sentences about trying to tell him how excited I would be to work with refugees and how I taught ESL and lived overseas and I helped lead this big group of people from my church to Sweden for a refugee thing, and. To my surprise, Mark didn't hang up on me. At the end of the phone call, he said this: "Okay, here's a crazy idea." So clearly he had pegged me as someone who would go for a crazy idea. He told me, "World Relief is looking to open some new offices around the country, and Bellingham is on our short list of places in the Pacific Northwest. You've called it kind of an opportune time here, so how would you like to explore whether or not we could get an office started there?" So I mumbled something about, you know, sure, I'll pray about it. I hung up the phone. I walked back onto the nature trail behind the church here, and I just started weeping uncontrollably, like ugly, snotty crying, leaning up against a tree, hoping that nobody would come by. Because it seemed in that moment like God had allowed me to feel viscerally, like deep within my gut, just the tiniest sliver of the care and concern that he has for people who find themselves fleeing their homelands, grabbing their kids and a carry-on suitcase if they're lucky, and running for their lives. These people that the world so often distrusts, fears, despises, God's love is so very deep. So very deep for them. All of Scripture speaks to it. The very life of our Savior speaks to it. The call to live ourselves as aliens and foreigners on earth speaks to it. So I knew that. I was convinced of it in my head, but in that moment, it was like a doorway was open, just a tiny crack for me to catch a glimpse of God's heart for these people, and something inside me shifted. So we started about the work of seeing whether Bellingham might welcome an office for refugee resettlement. And at this point, it was just my friend Daniel Rep and I making phone calls, writing emails, sitting on Zoom call after Zoom call after Zoom call. And then more and more people started hearing about it, wondering how they could help. People started telling me things like, I have been praying for years for something like this to happen in our community here. And pieces started falling into place. Absolutely essential people stepped forward to offer help at just exactly the right moments. For much of this process, I have felt much more like someone who's been along for the ride than the person driving the bus. One massive piece of this puzzle that none of us foresaw is the fact that in August of this year, we saw the start of what has become the biggest refugee crisis that our country has faced in a generation, with the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban. The United States was suddenly faced with the moral obligation to resettle and support tens of thousands of Afghans in the middle of a global pandemic. So our plans to have a nice, orderly, tidy start to our process of receiving refugees in Bellingham, following, you know, a gradual ramp-up time and some hiring and training, all those nice, sensible plans were scrapped, and we just jumped into the middle of it all. It wouldn't have felt right to sit on the sidelines of this crisis when we technically were able to open up and begin receiving people. So we said that we could take 30 individuals, and the federal government was more than happy to assign them to our office. So December 1st, the first ones, the first family landed at the Bellingham Airport, and the last seven of those initial 30 should be arriving in a couple of weeks. After that, we just keep on welcoming people, not at that crazy of a pace, hopefully, not all from Afghanistan. Hopefully we hire on a few more people to help with this work. Hopefully more and more churches and community groups hear about this and want to join in the work. But we continue to welcome folks, to find them places to live, to get them into English classes, to do all of that stuff, because our God is a welcoming and hospitable God. We befriend and we listen and we learn from these new neighbors, and we pray that our community will befriend and listen and learn from them, because our God is a migrant God who is close to those who wander. And I pray that our church and that others will see this work and realize that it's not an extracurricular activity for Christians, but it's deeply intertwined with God's heart, and it's a central part of the whole mission of God. Bellingham Covenant is my church home. It has been for over 20 years. You have all been so gracious and so generous and so encouraging to me over the years, to me and to my family. None of this story about World Relief that I just shared would have been possible without BCC providing office space, meeting space, funding, prayers, time for me to do this work. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thanks as well to Phil Weiss and to his men's group for building us shelves in our storage container back there. Thanks to Mike and Heather Merchant for showing up and helping us get an apartment set up, and for volunteering at the ESL classes at Whatcom. Thanks to Kelly Snook. She and her family are new here, but she's been the one who's been handling all of our contacts with employers who are interested in working with refugees. To Michelle Majors for coordinating our housing, to Katie Meeks for helping refugees to access health care. Thanks to those of you who have provided housing for refugees, who have purchased gifts to give to refugee kids, who have given donations before we were even an official thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please know that there are a lot of people in our community, from the county executive to members of many of their churches, to ESL teachers at Whatcom, to members of the local Afghan community, people who have been deeply involved and committed to this work. Whether they realize it or not, they have witnessed Jesus at work in welcoming and supporting these new neighbors. So may his name continue to be lifted high in our community. May his people remain committed to the whole mission of God. I'm going to let some other people talk for a little while now about this adventure that we've embarked on, because they can say things a lot better than I can. So listen to them, and then we will close.
Hello, my name is Kevin Park, and I'm a member here at Bellingham Covenant Church. And I work at Peace Health St. Joseph Medical Center as the Director of Mission Services. And I'm just really excited about this new opportunity we have to welcome the stranger into our midst. I think that's a core calling, a core message of the gospel is to welcome the stranger. And I think this organization, World Relief, gives us an opportunity to do that in some really unique ways.
Hi, I'm Adrielle Park. I'm a member here at BCC. And one of the things that gets me excited about welcoming refugees to our neighborhood is the question of who is our neighbor, and how can we be good neighbors. So for me, that's why I get excited when I think about this opportunity for our church to not only recognize the whole world as our neighbor, but to act as neighbors to them and welcome them and make them feel at home, make them feel loved, and feel like they can start a new life after they've been through some really hard times.
My name is Daniel, and I've been helping out with the project for having a World Relief office in Bellingham for about a year now. I started out, Stephen asked me to help contact different people in the community to see if this was even an option, so getting connected with local government, city and county, school districts, social services. We had a big consultation over Zoom in March to see if this was a good fit of an area to resettle refugees, and got the thumbs up, and now a year later we have people arriving.
Hi, I'm Charity Garza, and I have been involved with opening this World Relief office since the beginning. I decided to get involved with World Relief because I care a lot for marginalized communities, and just when I read passages in scripture that talk about helping the most vulnerable and welcoming people, those really stick out to me. And a few years ago, we got the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Sweden and working with a refugee church there. And ever since that trip, that's just like really been on my heart. And I'd read books about it since then and just wanted to get involved in something like that. And was disappointed there was nothing like that in Whatcom County. So as soon as Stephen brought it up, I was just really excited to dive into that work. And the more I've gotten involved, the more I have felt that God put this ministry on my heart to become more involved in and become friends with these people that we're welcoming.
Now my capacity is helping families learn to use the bus system to get to their English classes, or helping families with childcare when they have appointments to make. Helping families get signed up for social services. And it's been really exciting to see this grow from just an idea that Stephen was hoping to have a place to resettle refugees in Bellingham, to now actively serving families with such a large volunteer base of support in the community.
One of the other ways I've been involved is helping the families get signed up for benefits and services that they need. The kids need to get enrolled in schools. They need to get signed up for DSHS. That involves lots of hours of talking and not talking on the phone and waiting. So it's just little things like that that seem like it's not too hard to do really help out. When you arrive in a new place, the infrastructure is confusing. So anything we can do to help them get settled and get stabilized in their new home is appreciated. So those are, they don't feel big sometimes, but it all adds up to helping them just get off on the right foot in a new strange place.
When Stephen first asked me to help out in the early stages of this project, I was really excited to have something that would be helping people directly. I'd really been looking for an opportunity like that, especially during COVID when a lot of volunteer opportunities were limited or looked different. It was really exciting to have a way to help these big problems in the world that seem like so far in distance sometimes of what's happening in other countries. It's nice to be able to be like, well, we can be a landing pad, we can be a welcome place for people in their time of need. I really saw in Stephen's heart that he thought this was not just extracurricular to faith, but really an integral part of what Christians are called to do and how Jesus lived his life and how he asked Christians to live their life. And so I was really excited, too, to have that be a faith opportunity. When oftentimes, especially when we're going through times of crisis with a pandemic or anything else in our life, it can be easy to retreat further into faith and to be sort of default to the book club model or the helping out our in-group. But I was really excited that Stephen had a heart for going out and living a faith that was directly impacting people's lives, serving people in need, and really living out those callings to go into the world.
I think that this is a great opportunity for the church to really live out things that we talk about all the time on Sundays. And it's really easy for us to say that we're a welcoming community or to preach that on Sunday mornings, but this is just a great opportunity to live that out and to be an example of Jesus and the way that Jesus wants us to live to the broader community, just in welcoming people and in very tangible ways by opening our homes or assisting people or donating to them.
It's really incredible to see how much has happened in less than a year's time, from this being an idea to us actively serving people who are arriving. And so I'm excited to think of in 1 year's time from now where we might be. I'd really love to see a community form among the arrivals. I think especially since a lot of them are coming from Afghanistan, we've seen a lot of great connections between them. I'm really hoping that extends to the community and that they're not just a sub-community within Bellingham, but that they really find this a welcoming home and that people in Bellingham can learn a lot more about that culture, about those people.
I guess my hope would be that we continue to be a people who will support and take care of our neighbors in any ways that we can, and I'm really thankful for this opportunity to do that and hope that we can continue to do that for many years in the future.
I would love to invite you to be involved with helping World Relief as we welcome refugees into Whatcom County. There are so many ways that you can serve. You know, me and my wife, we have young kids, and so we've been bringing them along with some of the things. If you're also a family with young kids, there's places where you can serve. Maybe, though, there are things you can do that we can't do. And one of the great, exciting things about this whole project has been seeing what we can accomplish when we all work together. And so there may be gifts that you could bring to the table that we really need. Sometimes we need people who can be up in the middle of the night to help welcome someone at the airport. Sometimes we need someone who can sit on the phone and talk through government programs with somebody. Sometimes we need someone who can go to the store and go grocery shopping with someone or set up a bed. There's all kinds of different gifts and ways to serve. And when we all work together, it's kind of amazing how much we're able to do. And I've loved being part of such a great team that can work together to make people feel welcome in our home.
All right, so there's your invitation. There's a ton of things and ways to be involved. Not all of them are immediately available. Some things we're going to be waiting on to get larger groups involved with. But if you want to know about our current needs, we have some sheets that are printed off over by the mission wall here that you can pick up that'll give you some information on that. I'd love to connect with you afterwards and just talk about any of this. Charity Garza also has been involved very deeply in all of this, and so she's a great resource. If you can't find me, talk to Charity, and she'll be able to point you in a right direction. But In any case, thank you so much to all of you for these past, whatever it is, almost 7 years of being here on staff with you all. I've deeply appreciated each one of you. And would you just let me pray for you as we wrap up our service today? Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this body, for this group of your children who have welcomed me and welcomed many others over the years. I thank you that this spirit of welcome comes directly from you, that it extends to us and it extends through us to others, to those particularly who are distant from us in many ways and distant from you in many ways, that you are the gracious host who invites the unexpected people to your table, that you welcome them in, that you make them part of your family, and that you then send us and them out to do your good work in this world. So we look forward to that continuing. I pray for Bellingham Covenant as they move into the future and move into the work that you have before them. Lord God, would you be with us in this week and show us ways that we can care for your children and act out that welcome that you have extended to us. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.